Envy singers, when you get stuck, is all you do is hold your arm up and hold it out. That doesn't work when you're preaching, all right? You can't go, oh, it doesn't work real well. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read four verses together. We're going to read verses 13 through 16 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Folks, if you were not here this morning, I preached a sermon on hell this morning. You don't hear much preaching about that topic. It wasn't your typical sermon on hell either. It was honestly intended more towards saved people than lost, though it applies to everybody. But I encourage you to listen to it. A pastor friend of mine, I said, I've been fighting the devil all week because I preached on hell today. He said, yeah. He said, I preached on hell today too and had a family get up and walk out of church. He said, they just left. And I said, well, proof of the end days, they can't take it anymore. And there's a price to pay, folks, just so you know. It's tough. So, all right, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Let's read this passage responsively. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd anoint me. Allow me to be totally yielded to you to say what you once said to your people tonight. Lord, what a good group of people. Lord, these folks are tired. They've worked hard all week, and yet many of them were all here this morning except for our visitors, and yet they're back tonight because we need you, and we need you in a special way. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry, I had to get my water here. The Bible says in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. I want you to notice something about Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus preaching what we would call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, just so you know, this is the first recorded sermon of Jesus, but it was not his first sermon. If you went back to Matthew chapter 4, you see in the latter part of the verse that verse 23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He had been preaching a long time before the Sermon on the Mount. It was not his first sermon, just so you know. But he is preaching to a multitude up on a mountain, and he was talking to the Christians here, and he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, salt is an essential mineral for human beings and animals. You will not live long if you have no salt. Your body requires salt. Now, some of you overdo it. Amen. Just like your body needs food, but sometimes we pack more in the pie hole than we need. It's not that we don't need food, but some of us think we need more than we need. Now, let me say it this way. That's why if you choose, and I'm a carnivore, but if you choose to be a vegetarian, you have to take salt supplements, and you have to have a little bit more added salt to your diet because you don't get the required minerals just from the plant life, because salt will not live in most plants. It will live in the tissue of the animals that we eat, but not in plant life. So vegetarians have to eat a more amount of salt than the average person. Now, I say that to say this. We can overdo salt, too. it cracks me up. Have you ever noticed salt causes strokes and heart attacks? Now they're saying, well, maybe it doesn't cause as much heart attack and stroke as we thought. Coffee's bad. Coffee's good. This is bad. This is good. This is bad. This is good. Depends on what they need to make more money on or tax more is what they determine what's good and what's bad for you. My grandmother's 97 years old. She'd been eating salt and pork and bacon and everything her whole life. I guess it was cut short, huh? Good night. Some of you have grew up on farms and had grandparents that every day of their life they ate bacon and sausage and eggs and salt pork and everything else. And they died early. They were only 85 and still pulling the plow themselves. It just doesn't make all the sense in the world. But salt helps our body. Salt is necessary for the nerves in your body, for the electricity to flow through your body appropriately. And I'll talk about that a little while later. Salt can also be used for more than just food and eating. Do you realize that only 6% of the salt that is used in the world is used for food? The other 94% isn't even consumed by people or by animals. 94% of the salt isn't even used as far as your personal health, as far as eating goes. It can be used for melting ice and snow in the wintertime. It can be used for softening water. How many of you have a water softener in your house, all right? Especially in this area, we've got rock-hard water. It's got a lot of calcium and lime and stuff in it. And you put salt in a softener, rock salt. The water runs through that, and it takes some of that sediment out of there and pumps it back into your system, and it's not as hard on yourself and on your water and et cetera, et cetera. It's used in the production of vinyls, plastics, and foams and other products. It's also used to just do an awful lot of other things. They use it in electricity in other ways. God tells us that we Christians are the salt of the earth. That used to be an old terminology. I remember hearing people say, oh, that's salt of the earth kind of people. And maybe you've ever heard that term before. Everybody with gray hair just about probably has, or no hair. I have less after the bonfire last night, that's for sure. God tells us, Jesus was preaching here, and Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. He warns us, though, about that salt. He says, be careful you don't lose your saltiness. I want you to look at verse 13 again, and I want to show you something here. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, his savor, that means if the salt loses its saltiness, watch this, wherewith shall it be salted? Do you know once salt loses its saltiness, it can't be resalted? Once it's gone, it's gone. God wants us to keep that savoriness, that saltiness about us for a reason. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God not only calls us salty, but he wants us to be salty for the world. Now, tonight, I want to share with you just a few thoughts about this thing of being salty. Now, by that, I don't mean salty being bitter. I do not believe any Christian should be bitter. Bitterness is sin. God said, put all wrath, anger, bitterness away from you. If you have bitterness in your heart, you're losing your savor and you have sin in your heart. I can promise you this. I am very far from perfect. I know that. But I'll promise you this. I do not put my head down at night and have a bitter thought against any human being in the world for any reason. None. I have a very clear conscience when it comes to that. You say, well, you just never had happen to you what's happened to me. Maybe not. But you likewise have not had happen to you what's happened to me. We're not in a contest here, are we? I've had people hurt me. I get hurt like everybody else. But you don't have to get bitter. Now, But God says he wants us to stay salty. Now, let me give you, I have six thoughts I want to give you, and we'll run through these. Number one, salt preserves. Salt preserves. How many of you ever have had salted ham before? Okay, or dry salt ham, all right? Dry salt pork. The old timers used to cake the salt down on pork, hang it in the smokehouse and smoke it and salt it and not refrigerate it. They didn't have refrigerators in those days. So the only way to preserve that was to smoke it and salt it down real good, and it kept it from decaying faster. That's a lot what happens. A couple years ago, I shot the buck that is in my office. First thing you do after, if you're going to keep a cape like that and the mount like that, after you remove the flesh and things, you have to get a couple pounds of salt, and you salt down the hide and roll it up before you get it to the taxidermist. Because if you don't, that flesh begins to rot. That salt will dry it out and keep it from rotting as quickly. And once you get it there, they roll it out, they'll clean it off, and they scrape it off, and they salt it again and keep it salted for weeks. That's how they keep it from rotting, is salt. Now, we are what keeps this old nasty world from falling apart. Did you know the only thing holding this world together are the Christians in it right now? And don't get mad at me. I'm not just saying people that say they're Christians. I'm talking about the saved people. I'm not talking about people that have a form of religion. I'm talking about Christians. You see, it's amazing how many people are killed in the name of religion. It's amazing how many people are killed for what they believe. And by the way, the day's coming, and it already has come and has been here for many years and centuries and millenniums. Christians have been killed for believing what they believe for an awfully long time. It's a crazy shooter in Oregon walked into a community college and said, "Are you a Christian? And if you were, he shot you in the head and killed you. If you weren't, he let you go, or he only wounded you." That's a form of persecution. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to happen that way everywhere you go, but I'll promise you this, they're out to stamp out the name of Jesus Christ. It amazes me they want to remove the Bible, they want to remove the Ten Commandments, they want to remove Jesus, they want to remove God from everything, and then they want to complain about how violent everything is. Why remove it? If they don't like the Ten Commandments, why don't they put what they believe up on a board somewhere? Why is it that we have to take down what we believe because it might offend them? Can I tell you something? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we need to realize that we Christians are the only salt that's keeping this world. Can I tell you something? It's not going to be long, and Jesus is going to come back at the rapture and take us out of this mess. And when he does, this old world's going to get nasty in a hurry. We're already seeing it set up. Russia, China, Iran, Iraq, and Syria will join forces, Pakistan and Turkey, against the nation of Israel in the end of the tribulation. Have you ever noticed how all those nations are starting to align already and getting along very well? Well, we're out of here 7 years before that happens, just so you know. But can you imagine how bad it's going to be with no Christians here? It's getting bad. Now, we need to get more people saved and stop or slow the decaying process of our world. Folks, I've heard this preached my whole life from the time I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Soul winning isn't something you do to build a church. Soul winning is what you do to obey God. If soul winning doesn't build a church, we still go out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus Christ. It's not a church-building tool. It's a Christian obeying issue. It's not a matter of building the church. By the way, I believe God uses soul winning to help build the church. Yes, I do. But even if it doesn't, we're still supposed to do it.
That's right.
God said, go out and do it. Now, if we lose our saltiness, this area is going to die even faster. I love the panhandle of West Virginia. Now, I grew up in Ohio. I'm a worthless nut on a tree, amen? You can't eat a buckeye. Say, what is a buckeye? A buckeye is a worthless nut. It grows big trees with... Have you ever seen a buckeye? Okay, the hull on a buckeye is like a walnut, except it's not hard. It's got prickers on it, like a porcupine egg. All right, porcupines don't lay eggs, just so you know. But it's just got this real nasty, gnarly, and it's got about 3 million prickers on them. It's great to throw at somebody if you got a glove on. You can stick it right in their leg. You say, how do you know? My brother told me. The guy catty corner across the street from us had a huge buckeye tree in his backyard. My brother and I would sneak back there from time to time. We'd get a whole bucket full of those things, and man, we'd play war with those things. We'd toss them at somebody and hit them with those big round plastic bats and try to zing them into somebody. Oh, it was great. You could stick them into a person, right into their skin, and you're like, ah! It was great, all right? But we have got to reach this area. I am burdened for the panhandle in this area of our country. God put me here, and God put our church here to reach this area. It's our job. Now, I'm for reaching out. By the way, the Great Commission is your area, your state, your country, and the rest of the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. We're supposed to be doing it all, just so you know. But if we're more concerned sometimes in churches about raising money and sending people to go out all over the world as missionaries and do our work for us, and we're sitting back home on our couch doing nothing, God says we should be doing both, not just one. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. We need to base our lives on the Bible that preserves by principle. The principles of the Word of God will preserve your life. Did you know that living by that book will preserve your life? Do you know that living clean, moral, decent, principled life by the Word of God will preserve your children's lives? Did you ever think about it? Did you ever see a 30-year-old crack addict? Been on crack for about 10, 15 years? They look like they're about 97 years old. Their eyes are set back in their head. Their skin's about ready to all fall off, and they're just a mess. Say, what is that? The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. That doesn't mean that I hate those people, but you bring your kids up right and bring them up by the Word of God, and can I tell you something? They'll have a better life. They'll have a healthier life. They're not going to die of AIDS. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. By the way, that's why the world hates that book right there. The world wants to smell like everything else. The other day I came to work. It was real early in the morning, still dark out. And I got out of my car, Brother Gus, and I went, ooh, I know that smell. Something had been hit over here and crawled into the woods and died. And for about 4 days this week, it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And each time the wind would blow, it was like, ooh, I know that smell. Now, fortunately, the wind's blowing the other way and you didn't smell it today. But I could smell it. That death smell. It's vile. It's nasty. And salt will preserve. Hey, we Christians, living the way the Bible says to live, is the only hope this world has. I do not believe in lifestyle evangelism, but I do believe this. Us living the right way gives our world hope. Early this morning, I went into the Sheets to get a cup of coffee. It was about 5:10, 5:15 this morning. I went in there. There was another fella in there. He said, ma'am, all dressed up this morning, huh? And the guy behind the register, he's about as big as my podium here. He said, yep, he's the preacher from down the road. I've been friendly to the fella. I'm not sure. I've probably given him a tract, never even thought about it. I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, oh, and you're up at this hour? I said, yes, sir. He said, what for? I said, because I care about God's people and I want to make sure everything's right for today. He said, wow, that's different. I said, you ought to come visit sometime. You say, what was that? If I'd have gone in there like these community preachers with my blue jeans and my knees hanging out and my, what do they call those stupid sweater, turtleneck sweater shirt things that I don't wear. If I'd have looked just like him, they'd have never known I was the preacher. You got to look like something for them to want something different. We're not supposed to be like the world to reach the world. They're supposed to come want what we have. Are they doing all right? So salt preserves. Number two, these will go faster. Salt adds flavor. Salt adds flavor. Let me ask you a question. What kind of flavor are you adding to the world? What kind of flavor do you add at work? Are people glad when you're not there? Are they glad when you leave? I'm not talking about that they're convicted and they're glad that the conviction's gone. But, oh, can't get along with that person. All they do, complain, 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 complain. Is that what kind of attitude you have? We're supposed to have, I believe the people at Grace Baptist Church ought to be the best workers around. I believe we ought to have the best attitudes. I believe if you go to work and you work for 8 hours, turn your stupid phone off. If you're working a job that you shouldn't be doing your work on your company's time, and you work. Everybody doing all right? Man, we got a world that's so addicted. The average employer says if they can get 6 hours, 5 to 6 hours work out of somebody, they're really happy. Lord have mercy. My dad, he'd still kick my working side if I didn't work like I was supposed to work. Now, folks, we're supposed to work. We're supposed to lend flavor to where we work. How's the flavor at home? Some of you get along with better with people that you work with than you do the people that you live with. Okay, it's getting quiet. Did you know we ought to be the friendliest people in the area, even to people that don't like us? Did you know I can be kind to people that don't like me? I say this all the time. We've passed out somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 or 70,000 of our gospel tracts. Every one of them have my picture on it. Okay? I don't go anywhere without somebody saying, oh yeah, I got one of those papers from your church. And usually it's duck or pucker. Okay? You're not quite sure which until they start talking a little longer. Amen? Let's not be phony and overbearing. Let's show the area here how Christians are supposed to live. Let's just live the right way. Let's not let the negative of the world suck the saltiness out of our lives. Say, how do we keep from getting that way? You stay in that book right there. If you stay in that book, you won't lose the savoriness of the salt of your life, and you can keep going when everybody else has a nasty attitude. I was somewhere recently, and I think I was at a store, and there was quite a few folks that were not happy, and they were giving it what for to this lady. And I walked up, and we were kind of in a little bit of a line there, and she was almost not going to say, how are you today? I could tell. She said, how are you? I said, I am doing wonderfully. And she went, really? But I said it just that loud so that about 4 or 5 cash registers away, everybody could hear me. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I get to pastor the greatest church in the world, Grace Baptist Church, and I've got nothing to complain about. The devil's not going to be my God. Jesus is my God. I said, I have everything in the world to be happy about. You could hear a pin drop in that store. She looked at me and grinned. These people got done and walked out. I said, did I clear it up for you? She said, better than anybody else has ever done around here. She said, can you come back? I said, sure will. I had fun. You say, you didn't do that. Yes, I did. Now you know why I don't know whether duck or pucker. Folks, we need to not let the saltiness of the world suck it out of us. We don't need to let their negativity suck our saltiness out. Number three, and I got to hurry, salt can be used to melt ice. Can I tell you something? We need to take the old gospel and the Bible, start melting the sinful hearts of men and women and children. We live in such a hard-hearted society. Say, how do I win somebody? With the Word of God. Just keep hammering with the Word of God. It will eventually melt through that heart. Amen, Fred? I watched that man for 6 months white-knuckle every invitation here. I kept beating him with the gospel. I preached on hell this morning. He got up. He said, man. He said, that was quite the sermon this morning, preacher. And he reached out to shake my hand, Brother Gus. I said, yep. And you didn't have white knuckles today either. He said, you still see too much. Can I tell you something? That old Bible just starts pounding away at you. And it just starts melting that heart. Well, we let that sin harden our heart and it gets cold and it gets hard. But that salt of the gospel can reach in there and just start melting people. You say, well, I've got a family member and they don't want to hear it. Just keep giving them the gospel nicely as you can, as much as they'll let you. And just keep spoon feeding it. Keep spoon feeding it. Keep spoon feeding it. And eventually it'll melt that heart. I promise you. Sometimes they're hard headed and it takes a while. It's okay. Just keep feeding them the salt, and it will melt that. It'll soften hard water. You have a water softener. What's it do? It takes hard water and softens it. See, we need to melt the frozen hearts of the saved that are away from the fold. Can I tell you something? There are some hard-hearted Christians that need to get back to the preaching of the Word of God, to reading the Word of God, because they've allowed the nastiness and bitterness to harden their hearts, and they won't listen to it anymore.
That's right.
Brother Stoltz and I were talking this morning. He gave me of a name of a friend of ours. I've known them for 30 years. They occasionally go to church now. Oh. Say, what needs done? They need the salt of the Word of God to melt their hard heart. I used to be on staff in the ministries where I worked. They don't even go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night anymore. Occasionally on Sunday morning. Occasionally. Broke my heart. What needs to take place? We need to melt that. We need to get out there. You say, well, what do you do when you meet people like that? Put my hand out there and say, I love you. How about you come to church? You need it. Remember what it was like when it was right? I don't kick them when they're down. Let's pick them up. Let's love them back. Let's melt that with the Word of God. Let's love them. We don't have to condone what they do, but we can love them in spite of what they're doing. Boy, that's a good statement. We need to let the preaching of the Word of God and our walk with God melt our hearts. Can I tell you something? That altar fits everybody's knees, including mine. I spend a lot of time at that altar. Now, I don't always do it during the church service while we're here, but let me tell you, I use the altar. Can I tell you why? Because I need it just as much as anybody else does. I'm just as much a sinner as you are. We need to let the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I realize some of y'all can't get up and come down here. Some of you, if you could get down, it's going to take a bunch of us to get you back up. And I understand that. And if you just want to sit there at your chair and pray, that's fine. I understand it. But we need to be soft to the things of God. When God is working in us, we ought to be softened to those things that He moves about it. By the way, number four, salt can irritate. You ever get salt in a cut? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, does that burn? Did you ever get out sweating real good, cutting wood or something, and that salt starts pouring into your eyes? Or you cut yourself and you didn't know you cut yourself, and you stick your hand in a bag of potato chips? Then you find out that hurt. I got a cut there. How'd you find out? Got salt in it. It's like pouring alcohol in it. Salt in a wound will burn. Listen to this statement. Ye are the salt of the earth. Did you know you're going to irritate people from time to time? We had somebody visit our church about a year and a half, 2 years ago. They said, I'm never coming back. Too friendly, too cheery of a place. I said, thank you. They were upset. We were so happy. I said, can I ask you a question? Why does that bother you? I don't think church ought to be like that. Church ought to be somber. I said, oh, okay. I took the criticism gladly. I could not believe somebody would not come back to church because it was too happy, too friendly. I thought, I almost said, where do you go to church? Because I never even want to drive by. I really wanted to say that. I did not. I was being good that day. Can I tell you something? We will be an irritation to error. Truth will irritate error. People that don't believe the right way don't like this preacher. Can I tell you why? Because I'm not afraid to tell them what the truth is. I despise preaching the type of sermon I preached this morning on hell. I'll be honest with you. I do not enjoy it. Say why? Because I don't like the thought of a place called hell. But I must preach all of it because it's there, just so you know. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean I'm not going to preach on it. Amen. Yes, sir. I must do it. But may I say this? It bothers people. We had a visiting family from out of state here. And the fella walked over to me. He shook my hand. He said, I hate to admit this, but I haven't heard preaching like that in a long time. He said, we need more of that. I said, yes, sir, we do. He said, I'm glad to know there's still somebody willing to preach like that. He said, that's the way it was when I was young. And he's about my age, I'm guessing. I said, yes, sir. I said, that's the way it is. I said, we might not be fancy, but we're going to get the truth out. By the way, you get the truth out enough, it's going to bother people. I said something this morning, Arlene. Hope had some Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons come by. I said, Hope, what'd you do? She said, I gave them one of your tracts with your picture on it, preacher. I said, what'd they do? She said, they turn around left. One of my special needs ladies had enough sense to give them a gospel track, amen. Old Brother Joe's got the Amish and the Mennonites and the Mormons up where he's at and the Jehovah's False Witnesses, and he's giving them gospel tracts. He said, it's amazing how fast they leave the property. And I know it's not because of the picture, because it's better looking than his face. Amen? Wait a minute. Salt will irritate. Number five, and I will hurry. Salt can be used for healing. Did you know that salt is used in healing? If you've ever had an IV in the hospital, it'll say saline. You know what saline is? Salt water. Salt water. Say, why is that? Because medicine even knows if you can get enough of the salt in your body, that salt will allow the electrolytes, have you ever heard that term? Electric. It helps with the nerves and the healing of your body much more quickly. How many of you have ever put drops in your eyes like Visine or something, okay? Or you got contact solution, all right? Because all that is salt water. Your tears are salty. They're salt water. Everybody doing all right? nose drops and nose spray. My daughter has been fighting this upper respiratory stuff, and she sat up in the bathroom with her head up against the tub two nights because if she laid down, she was coughing so bad. I said, you need to get some of that saline nose spray. She said, Dad, I don't have time to get out. So I called one of her brothers and said, pick it up and get it for your sister. I'll get you the $2 back that it takes. She did that for one day. She slept like a baby that night. It dried everything out in her sinuses. Say, what was that? It's salt water. That's all it is. salt can be used in healing. By the way, did you know that's why I really believe Grace Baptist Church is supposed to be a hospital for hurting people? We have the salt of the Word of God that's going to help clean them out, help fix them up, get things working back in order again, get them all back up to speed where they need to be. That's why we're a hospital, not a museum. Salt can be used to help heal people. And number six, and I'm done, salt makes you thirsty. Did you ever eat a bunch of ham and about 2 hours later, you just want to stick your head under the faucet and let her run? Say, why? It was salty. By the way, I am not for, I'll say this again, this lifestyle evangelism. You don't live your life and people just walk up and say, oh, what must I do to be saved? You live so much like Jesus, I want what you have. Garbage. That's a cop out for saying you don't want to go soul winning. Amen. Just so you know. And by the way, to live like that, you have to be knocking on doors, and they don't. So they don't qualify. Amen.
That's right.
But I will say this. I do believe we can live in such a way to where people will want what we have. I believe that. You see, we're not to be like the world to reach the world. We're supposed to be different. Did you know church music is supposed to be different from the world's music? That's why we're not going to have rock music and drums and all the electric guitars and everything wailing and flailing. You say, well, somebody came by a couple months ago and they said, wow, you could have one of those big church dances in here and you could get some of these guest groups in here to play their music and they could really have one of these praise and worship services. I said, there's nothing like that in the Bible. I said, we won't be having it. I said, when we praise in here, we sing the old songs. I said, the music's not for us, it's for God. I said, the average church sings music for their flesh, not to God, for God. I said, our music here is for God, not for us. He just allows us to enjoy it while we're doing it. We're not supposed to be like the world in our music. We're not supposed to be like the world in our doctrine. I fail at a lot of things, and I will agree with you on that. But I'll promise you this. You're getting good doctrine. It's Bible doctrine. Amen. We're not going to fail in the doctrine issue of things. Will I make mistakes? Yes. Am I everything I should be? No. But I will tell you this. I'm going to feed you the purest doctrine I get because it's all out of that book right there. By the way, the more we live and see God's blessing, the more it ought to make you thirsty to want some more. Do you know there's a physiological truth? Do you know what the satisfying of an appetite is? Increasing the appetite. You don't eat pizza one time and say, ha, I loved it. I'm never going to eat it again. No, the satisfying of the appetite is the increase of the appetite. That's why when you read the Word of God, it ought to make you want to read more. And you might not understand it all, but you keep on reading it. And the more you read it, and the more you understand it, the more you want to read it. That's why soul winning is what it is. As soon as you start getting a hold of this concept of people dying and going to hell, and you get to give them the gospel, not everybody gets saved you talk to, but when one does, you're ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. Can I tell you why? You see something take place, and it's like, ooh, I could do that. And each one you win, you want to win another one. That's what it's all about. The more we walk with the Lord, the thirstier for Him we should get. Do you know the more you pray, the more you ought to want to pray? You know, the more you read your Bible, the more you ought to want to read your Bible. You know, the more you go to church, the more you ought to want to go to church. Amen. I realize we all have those times of, I gotta go. We've all been there. I did not feel like coming to church Wednesday night with that upper respiratory gunk and I couldn't talk. But I came. And I got up. And graveled through the announcements, got up to preach, and God said, here you go, son. You were faithful. Let me take care of your voice. Got done preaching, was graveled again, couldn't hardly talk. Say, what was it? I really didn't feel like being here. But I knew I was doing what I was supposed to do. Can I tell you something? God gave me a blessing out of all that. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? My dear folks, let me say this. Let's be salty for God. Let's be salty for God. Let's not lose our saltiness. Let's live to help people get thirsty, and let's live thirsty for God. By the way, isn't that what he said when he said, "Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." Hunger and thirst. Then he said, "You're the salt." That saltiness ought to give us a desire for more. Did you ever eat just one potato chip and walk away? I can do it, but I don't like doing it. I'm not one of these people that takes potato chips at the bag and pours them into a bowl and then just walks away. I grab the bag and sit down and just start chomping, amen? I got to be careful. I've chomped enough to where I shouldn't do it anymore, but I'm going to. My wife's got me on this kick. They got these new pretzels out, and please don't buy a whole bunch of them for me. You can eat them, but they're hot wing Tabasco sauce on pretzels. Man, those are good. My dog doesn't even want to be around after I'm eating them things. I threw one down, she put it in her mouth, and she never picked them back up. Man, I love those things. Can I tell you something? They're salty. I get a quart of water and those things, I'm happy. Nobody else in the house eats them, so I just pop the bag open and just with the bag right on the mouth, man. Say, why? Because she's not going to eat them. Trust me. Now, wait a minute. We are the salt of the earth. Let's decide we're going to keep our savoriness. Salt does six things. Let me review very quickly, and I'll pray and be done. Salt preserves. Salt adds flavor. Salt can be used to melt. Salt can irritate. Salt can be used for healing. And salt will make you thirsty. You are the salt of the earth. Let's not lose our savor. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not even the salt of the earth yet, you need to get saved. You don't have to walk out those doors unsure of heaven when you die. But if you're saved, some of us need to decide we're going to get a little bit more salty. We're not going to let the negativity and the depression and all the nasty things of the world pull our saltiness away from us.